This meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee of January 25th, 2022. My name is James Sagerton, the chair of the National Finance Committee, or NFC as we call it. And I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll, believing that we are at quorum.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Nick Arena? Chris Corey?
I am here.
Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Jim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Mac is here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims? Okay, that's nine.
He is at the hospital with her husband. He had surgery today.
Oh, my.
But he is doing well. I mean, he's in pain, but he's doing... He made it through the surgery okay, so...
Oh, well, I'm sure we all wish him well and all of that.
And as you hear, we have Julia Gennard joining us in Anita's stead. Okay, thank you for that, R. Paul. That establishes our quorum. I'm going to move to the agenda now, and I will read the agenda, and then we can go to a vote. Okay, the agenda is to, one, convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Two is the roll call. Three is adopt the agenda. Four is the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Five is minutes approval, 3 minutes. Six is report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director, 10 minutes report with question and answer. Number seven, report on the application process for the CPB grant program participation. Otis McClay, Pacifica CPP Compliance Officer and IT Development Director presenting, 15 minutes presentation and Q&A. Number eight is report from the ICFO, 20 minutes report and Q&A. Number nine is review a preliminary version of the December 2021 financials, 60 minutes. And number 10 is budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22, 5 minutes. Number 11 is unfinished business with the national office. Compile a list to share with the national office of year-end outstanding items, 5 minutes. Number 12 is discussion of standard transaction limits. Beth Von Gunten presenting, 5 minutes, question and answer. And number 13 is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. That is the agenda as read. Are there any? Is there any discussion or additions or suggested subtractions?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, no, just fast. Number nine, you have review a preliminary.
I saw
so
that.
I took
yeah.
out one of the reviews, that's all.
Good for you. I also saw we had in number 12, Beth Von Gunten presenting, 5 minutes. Okay, no, that is right. Never mind that. That's okay.
And also, well, also again, in number 10, I'll make that FY22.
FY22, thank you. Yeah.
To go with the rest of the stuff.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, we'll go ahead with that, which brings us to number four, the chair's announcements. The announcements are that tonight we will be joined by our new executive director, Stephanie Wells, assuming she can get on, and our Pacifica National Board chair, Alex Steinberg. Tonight, we will also be joined by Otis McClay, Pacifica CPB Compliance Officer and IT Development Director, in a discussion of Pacifica's Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB, application. In keeping with our policy of giving priority to agenda items that involve guests, we will hear from Otis after we go through the usual meeting preliminaries. Tonight, we will also review a preliminary version of the December 2021 financials. There is no, and finally, there is no new news on the status of Pacifica's application for the Small Business Administration's Economic Disaster Injury Loan, or EIDL loan, E-I-D-L, and there are no other new announcements. So that takes us to item five, which is minutes approval. Our Paul, do we have minutes?
No.
Thank you. That takes us to number six.
This is Sharon with a, if I could have a question.
Go ahead, Sharon.
On your announcement, James, I'm not sure what is the appropriate way, but one of your announcements was about the EIDL loan. But is there going to be a time where we discuss that later? Because I thought I had heard, okay, this is why I'm asking, that that Pacifica had gotten all the funds dispersed.
No, the funds were not deposited yet. My understanding, what I've heard, is that it's in the legal department of the Small Business Administration, I guess for a standard review and or creation of the loan documents. But all we have so far released is the letter showing that our acknowledging that our application was changed to from a $500,000 application to an application for a loan of $2 million. That's what we have as a publicly released document.
I appreciate that clarification, James.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Okay, that brings us to number seven, which is a report on the we're still on number six. Stephanie is not here yet, right?
I'm here.
Oh, you are here. Stephanie,
yes,
we have
I am.
A standard. Thank you. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you.
This is Stephanie D. Wells, our new executive director. Stephanie, we usually have as a standard item in our agenda a report from the ICFO or the CFO, or, I'm sorry, the executive director. But of course, you know, you being brand new and we not even knowing that you were coming until just a moment ago, we don't really expect that. But if you want to say hello, why don't you take this opportunity, if you wish?
Thank you. Yes. No, thank you. I do not have anything to report. I will definitely have things to report as I move on in this journey. It is just my eighth day, but it's been a wonderful week so far, and I've had a great spent a couple of days at KPFK and talked with the folks over at KPFA, and anxious to start meeting the general managers at KPFT and WBAI and WPFW. And my goal is to really just focus on getting all of the stations up to the level where we all know that they can be and should be, both with their listenership and their ratings and the fundraising and the money coming in. So I'm really focusing on raising funds for the stations and raising funds for the Pacifica Foundation in general. And I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Okay, so that would now bring us to number seven, which is the report on the CPB grant application. Fred, or actually it's not the grant application, it's the membership application for the program. Fred, should we reach out to Otis? Were you able to get Otis?
I got him a pin, but he's not on the, I don't see him on the call yet. I can call him and have him come on.
That would be lovely. Why don't you do that?
James, well, may I just interject real quickly?
Yes, go ahead, Julia.
Stephanie, I just wanted to make sure, if you haven't checked your email in the past few minutes, I forwarded the documents that are related to tonight's meeting to the email.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder. Let me tell everybody.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And let me tell everybody, as usual, the documents that we use in these meetings go to our National Finance Committee list. And, you know, we hope that you'll check that list before you come to the meeting and read up on the documents and prepare. And we usually try to send them out right before the meeting starts again, so that all you have to do is go to your email and it'll be right at the top and you can access everything that we'll be using. So thank you for that, Julia.
Shall I resend to the group?
Yes, please.
No,
yes, please.
I don't need it.
I've got
well, it goes to the group, so you'll get it anyway.
Yeah, I know.
I hope everybody could take this moment to be checking them and making sure you have what we'll need.
James Otis is on.
Wonderful. Thank you, Fred.
Otis,
hello, Otis.
Hey.
Hi.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi. Who is that, Lyndon?
No, it's Otis.
It's Otis.
I thought I heard Lyndon's voice. Okay. Thank you
I'm
for joining us.
Lyndon imitation, yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Otis. Otis, just so you know, if you didn't hear our preliminaries, we have our chair of the board, Alex Steinberg, with us tonight, and our new executive director, Stephanie Wells, has joined us. And other than that, we have pretty much the full committee.
Cool.
As well as Julia Kennard from NETA, who you know. So we have this billed as a report on the application process for the CPB grant program participation with Otis McClay, the Pacifica CPB compliance officer, and IT development director presenting. The floor is yours, Otis.
It's far more important than anything I could say. That basically what I would say is the history that I'm familiar with is that naturally, I'm a guy, so I don't remember dates, but it was after we were really dumped by the CPB and they sent some letters. It was during summer Reese's turn as executive director. And John Kriegler was our attorney at Garvey Schubert Bearer. Essentially, he had some conversations with the inspector general, who wrote a fairly voluminous report about our crimes and sins, and made some agreements. And one of the main agreements, there were two issues. One was the audit, which we all are aware of, and now that's pretty much been fixed because of the work at NETA. And the other thing was meeting notices and the transparency. There are FCC requirements that the meetings be noticed a certain way. So what I did, for the most part, was work on the meeting notice thing and resolve that. So and at the present time, we have an automatic system which shows the meeting notices for the given stations on their websites, and it shows the date that the meeting was entered in the system, so that you could see that the 7-day requirement for the notice was being observed. And I've continued ever since then to do screenshots of those notices for each of the stations, so that we could show the CPB that we were conforming to their requirements. And that's basically what I know. I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff we could talk about, but I'm not really a major expert in that. One of the other things I did would be to remind GMs and so forth that they had to complete their reports in time. And actually, we did that fairly well. But the thing that really hurt us was the audits, that we just could not supply the CPB the requirements of audits according to their requirements. And that really amounts to my report. So I am available for questions and attacks of various kinds.
I have a question.
Let's take a stack. Who was that first one I heard?
Julia,
and then our Paul?
Yeah.
And then Kim.
Sharon for the stack.
Sharon. Why don't we take those, and then we'll take another stack. Go ahead, Julia.
Okay. My question is, and I'm not sure, Otis, if you know this or not, was the audit requirement just to get one done, or that there was a clean opinion on the audit, since that is not the case?
Well, the bottom line is that
that we had to conform to the requirements. And we don't submit an audit. We submit an annual financial. Was it an AFS, an annual
audited financial report? Yeah, statement.
Yeah, an AFR, right? Yeah, because Jim has looked at all this stuff and probably knows more than I do about the requirements, which are voluminous and difficult to understand and put some requirements on us that I think we really have to examine.
Do we know where that requirement list is?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
In fact, it was you sent it out. I just looked
at
it.
Yeah, but I think that
just reading it.
I think there's a more detailed list somewhere.
Julia.
I saw one in 2018. But
there's a link. There's a link in that report that you sent out for financial reporting.
Seeking recognition?
Sorry.
Yeah, and it changes every year, and there's a separate one every year. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, I was just, I saw that because I reviewed it today. There's a link. Julia, I can look at it later and tell you what page it's on.
Okay, I flipped through it some today, but again, I didn't have time to go through the whole thing. So
There's a period during the time that I was the ostensible compliance officer. The reporting to CPB is done through their online system called ISIS, just information something and something. And it has models for all of these reports, question and answer forms and so forth. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jim, the AFR is included in that. It's the same as the audit. I mean, essentially, those figures have to be generated in the AFR. They have to be generated by an audit, and they do specifically, I think, require that we have an audit done by, I don't know, whenever we're supposed to have it done. Did
correct.
I answer it?
Yeah.
That has to be done to be able to do the AFR. So,
right.
Yes.
And
the AFR has to be from legitimate information.
Julie, I'm going to put myself on the stack for a second to say that the first item in the table of contents, if you will, on that document that you forwarded from the CPB is the requirements. That's the first thing they list in that document.
Yeah. Yeah, wait a minute. Where did I have it? It's pretty complete. It's complete enough so that your head kind of spins when you read it, which means it must be a really good one.
And Otis, from your past experience, I think you could share with us something about the lead time that we need to do that. We haven't done it for a while. Actually, I think John O'Mellis says that we have been preparing them as if we were going to do them, I think, up until maybe a year or two ago. So it's not like we have to start from scratch, but we need to start doing this yesterday, right?
Well, yeah, I we have to look at it. But let me see here. I'm looking at the thing. Yes, this is the thing from Julia, which is the 22-year, the link is the 2022 requirements. The way we've been doing it up to now, more or less, is that John Almella and I have been kind of riding herd on it. And we've had fairly decent cooperation, but there's a lot of stuff that has to be done. The SAS report is station activity survey is huge. And you have to have the EEO reports. So you got to have a whole bunch of stuff. So it really requires a very focused, a couple of weeks to get that done and get that in to the CPB. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. So, we get free money, but it costs us in time. And
I'm going to add one more thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the basic truth about all this is that they want to give us the money, but they can't unless we conform to the essentially what amounts to what the legislation requires. So we have to conform to what they need in order to give us the money. And it's a, you know, a different way of looking at it. It's not like, oh, my God, they're demanding all this stuff. It's this is what is required in order to get it. And so we have to do that. And we have to have a sense within the foundation that that's something that needs to be done and that this is really at the top of your list for a couple of weeks every year.
Yes. I want to just add one more thing before I go to the others on the stack, and that is that even though my mother used to say too many cooks spoil the broth or something to that effect, I think we on this committee have some talent, and on the PMB we have some talent, and we have talent elsewhere in the network, and we know we have a single person now occupying the position of executive director, and we have a limited staff, so I'm hoping we can help in this process. If you, you know, we can break it down into small pieces.
Dare I say that Stephanie's experience is very supportive in, you know, in getting grants and dealing with that kind of stuff and knowing how to you know, deal with all those requirements and things. And
absolutely. You know,
so I think that's hopeful. Sorry, Stephanie, yep. I realize I'm buttering you up, but, you know, just get used to it.
That's okay.
Okay.
So I think there has been a lack of consciousness about this whole process. And I think that, you know, everything we can do to, you know, increase that consciousness is probably helpful.
Okay, why don't we go to Art Paul now?
Can I say something on this?
Can you get on the stack, Alex, or do you want to? Was it on this point?
I'll be glad to get on the stack. That's fine.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Everybody's been patient. Thanks, everyone. Go ahead, Art Paul.
Yeah, I know that there are, you know, you have to give notice, and you also have to basically, if you, especially with a closed meeting, you have to not only give the notice, give a report out, and there are certain restrictions about what can be in an executive session, a closed session. And I'm wondering, you know, they have all of these different kinds of things about the meetings, and I'm wondering how far back they look. We're going to be applying this year. Are they going to look back for 1 year or 2 years? Do we have to worry about everything going back to, say, May of last year or May of 2020 or something like that? Do you know what the time limits are of what they're looking at?
I don't, but what I can tell you is I've got the screenshots of the web pages going back like to 2006 or something. And also, the, you know, we have the reports out that we've been putting up. So at least we have that stuff. I think we have pretty well proven that we've conformed to the open meeting requirements, which are, by the way, not just CPB. They are the CPB. It just uses the FCC requirements. The FCC has those requirements. So and I think we've pretty well conformed to that. And I think we can show it. I don't know how far back they want to go. It depends on how mad they are. I mean, they're annoyed at us, I got to tell you, in general, because one of the things the inspector general said that he was, and I think he said it in the report, that we essentially thumbed our nose at the CPB. And as anybody who's dealt with the government knows, that's not going to get you any results that you want. You just don't do that. You treat the bureaucracy with respect. Anyway, does that answer it, Paul?
No, I was really looking for how far back it goes, but partially it answers it. Thank you.
We have no way of knowing. We have no way of knowing. It would be, look, we got bounced completely for non-return, basically for non-return, not returning grants that we turned out to be ineligible for. And so we really thumbed our nose at them. And so that's why we got dumped from the CPB. So we're making a new application. And how much of that they want to see any of our past stuff is a question. There's nothing in the new application that would require that, you know, require that we prove that we were already doing that, prove that we had done it in the past. We're doing it now, and we can show that we do it now. So I don't know. That's an interesting question, but I don't think I have an answer. I don't think anybody does.
Okay, Arpal, is that, are you done?
Yes.
Thank you, Arpal. Kim?
Okay. First of all, Julia, on page 19, the bottom of the second paragraph, you'll see a link to their financial requirements or whatever, their financial stuff.
Thank you.
Sure. I'm aware that at KPFK, they're setting up emergency meetings that are not emergency meetings to get around with the lack of 7-day notice. I'm just saying, Otis, you know. November 17th was the last report out on Pacifica.org for the PNB. You got two secretaries there, and they can't get a report out for the last 3 months. I mean, come on.
Well, I would have to. Let me just say one thing. I'm doing so much stuff that it's entirely possible that I missed something.
That's not really your responsibility.
What I'm saying is, what my request is, no, I have to say, because that's the situation, what I request is that when I do something, I will always send back a note saying, please check. Make sure that I did what was needed to be done. And in this case, I would also be saying, if they send me a report out and I don't post it, I expect in a couple of days, they're going to either call me or send me another email, not a text, and say, put it up.
Is that,
I mean, I request that.
You put them up. Okay. All right. Sorry.
I put them
up. Okay.
I am the webmaster for the Pacifica page, so I'm responsible for what goes up there. What I'm saying is I need people to take charge of what their requirements are. If their requirement as secretary is this has to be posted, and I'm the secretary, and I need it posted. If I don't post it, they got to call me and say, hey, post it.
Okay, got it.
And I think that follow-through – that follow-through is just a characteristic of, I don't know, what would we say? Good management, doing your job, making sure that it gets done. And if somebody else is involved and they're dropping the ball, then you got to call them up and say, hey, help me out here.
Well, the chair of the board is here, so he can, pass this on to whoever, it needs to go.
It's been pretty good. It's been pretty good in general, and it may not be now. So thank you for noticing.
And I just want to...
Kim, yeah. Excuse me, can I ask you to suspend for a minute? We're out of time. We need to extend. Would someone like to offer a motion to extend?
I will.
They're bored with me.
R. Paul, I move to extend for what, 5 minutes?
5 minutes. Need to finish, and Sharon, I think, is on.
And Alex wanted to go as well.
Okay.
And I have something to say at the end. You sure 5 minutes is enough?
No,
make it 10 and we can end early.
10 sounds better to me. Let's go for 10. Sorry, Al. Sorry, Otis. Otis wants to go home. All right, so we have a motion to extend.
I'm having a ball showing off. Are you kidding?
There you go. Is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider that done. And, Kim, were you done, or did you have another question?
One more. And I don't expect an answer. I just want to point out to everyone, I never really noticed this before because it wasn't relevant, but in Section 4, letter E, says here facilities. Well, the page is page 8. Page 8, both. Sometimes the PDF numbering is different, but
facilities.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I'm looking.
And, Yeah, facilities. Grantee must have sufficient professionally equipped on-air and producing facilities to broadcast programming of high blah, 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 including capacity for local production and origination. In addition, grantee must provide sufficient office space suitable for station operations. KPFT might be a problem at this point.
I'll tell you what I think. This is just my thoughts. They want to give us the money, and a lot of changes were made during COVID. And our situation there, I think, is, you know, we're on the air, we're doing fairly good work, and I think they would let that go. I don't think they might. It depends. Depends on how mad they are, and it depends on how good our application is. If we put in a really good application, they'll be very happy. That's my theory, that they want to give us the money. They just don't want to have to, you know, be pushed around. We need to give them what they need to do their job.
I have a different theory, but I'm not going to get into it here. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
No, and your theory has, I know what your theory is, and it makes sense. That is also a possibility. But what it says is, let's do a really good job, because that'll satisfy both.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to Sharon.
Okay, thanks. Well, I, you know, haven't been on the NFC for a few weeks, and I guess I didn't get this thing document you guys are talking about. But so I was confused at the beginning when Otis was talking, because he referred back to 2013, and of course Pacifica was kicked out of the SCPP program just like 2 years ago. So I was confused about what was happening, but now I guess it's been explained that it is a reapplication into the program. So thank you.
It's not re. It's new. It's a new application.
Exactly. Well, you implied something entirely different for the beginning of your talk, so that's why I was confused. But I also just want to say that it's interesting. Well, I'm just saying it's interesting. I mean, it's just an interesting perspective. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. So on the one hand, say they want to give us money, and on the other hand, to say that they're annoyed with us. I think a better way to think of it is take out the emotion and just, like, think of it as they have certain requirements, and Pacifica chose not to comply with those for about 7 or 8 years. And CPP was actually quite lenient in allowing that to continue, and then finally took action. So perhaps the lesson is for Pacifica just to comply with the law. That's my comment.
Yes. I certainly have no disagreement with that at all. That's a good way of putting it.
Okay. Sharon, that's it?
That's it.
Thank you. Let's go to Alex.
Yes, thank you. It's actually been one of the more short-term goals, but one of the major ones is to get CPB funding for Pacifica restored. And I think we've made a lot of progress into meeting their requirements. We have caught up with the audits. We've been pretty good about posting notices, at least for the Pacifica National Board and for the local station boards. I'm not so sure about the committees, though. And that's one.
They're all posted, Alex. Sorry.
Well, finish, Otis.
If you weren't a guest, Otis, I'd admonish you for crosstalk. But go ahead, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me admonish myself. Sorry, Alex.
Good.
What's happened is, I'm afraid, a lot of the committees have simply not paid attention to minutes and not paid attention to things like reports out when they meet in closed session, and that has to change. And I've been trying to get all the PNB committees from this past year to catch up on their minutes before the new board takes over, which will be in 2 days, actually. So I think there's many moving parts, and I mean, that's one of them. There are other moving parts. For instance, our ratings, our listenership, and the diversity of our listeners is another factor in CPB funding. I do think if we show them really good effort and show them how much we have improved, we will get that funding restored. But we really have to take it seriously, and we have to, well, somebody has to be in charge of making sure all these moving parts are actually happening and that we're in compliance on notices, meetings, and of course, cabs. Do we have cabs active at each of our stations?
No.
I actually think we do now. I'm not sure.
No.
No,
I'm not,
we don't.
I'm completely sure about that. I know we have a working cab at WBAI. I don't know really for sure about the rest of the network, but somebody has to be watching that. And it's a big job. It's not something you can just sort of do on the side. I would really suggest Stephanie, I would suggest that you appoint somebody to keep an eye on this stuff and periodically report on compliance with the CPB requirements as we move closer to the application time. Anyway,
yes, to the stack.
Yeah, that's all I have to say on that. Thank you.
Beth,
I heard you. I heard you, Beth. Alex, were you done?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, we have a national development task force that tracks various potential revenue streams, one of which is the CPB potential. And we recently found someone willing to sort of shepherd that host of things for us to report on a regular basis. I've been involved with trying to get a cab stood back up at KPFK, my home station, and Dan McCrory surfaced in our cab work group, having come from a very extensive experience with the cab at KPBS, Southern California Public Radio, Public Television Station, and so he has he's very familiar with the regulations, and he has a real heart for this kind of thing. And so he'll be reporting regularly to the National Development Task Force. And Stephanie, I'm looking forward to getting in sync with you as soon as you have time. There's a lot to talk about there. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. I'm going to put myself on the stack for just a second. And say
put me on the stack too. I want to say something.
You go ahead first, Otis. Go ahead.
I just want to say there are two things. One is, as Stephanie finds out who's available, you know, and what people do, I think that'll be really helpful. And I want to say that John L. Mella has been doing a huge amount of work in terms of compliance of various kinds, like, you know, stations renewing their licenses and silly little things like that. And I think that, you know, Steffi should get a sense of what's available. And the other thing is to really bear in mind, not forget our structure, our governance structure, that every committee, the LSBs and their committees and everything are all committees of the PNB. So, one of the things I've noticed is there's a tendency among the stations to kind of feel that they're independent actors, and they're not. And so I think it's important to know that we're all in this together. Certainly the CPB thing is we are all in this together. And just I don't know how to implement that consciousness, but I think that consciousness is important that we're all part of Pacifica.
Thanks, Otis. Okay, I'm going to go myself now, and if anybody else wants to go afterwards, so I'm afraid actually we don't have any more time. But let me just say quickly that it's my understanding, and then we'll have to get confirmation on this, but if we make our application in May, it's not so much our past practices that are concerned, because, again, it is a new application, but going forward from May, we need to do what amounts to a full year of virtually perfect compliance with the CPB regulations. And then maybe we'll start getting a grant. This is not something that's going to happen. Like, we make the application and we get the grants a month later. We have to do a year of full compliance, and then we become eligible for the grants. So that's when we have to start being as close to perfect as we can be. And then, pardon me?
Thank you for clarifying that.
Oh, that's Julia. Okay. And finally, I wanted to say that the for people who might be listening out there and anyone who's interested in getting cabs going, Otis has very handily placed a link to the CPB requirements for community advisory boards, which we've been referring to as cabs here. It's a little blue link up at the upper left-hand corner of the public-facing page at KPFTX. You go to kpftx.org. It shows all the listings of the Pacifica boards and committees, and that little link there will take you to the CPB rules and regulations, where they talk about the memberships of cabs, how they're constituted, who has to approve them, what their duties are and what their responsibilities are. Their main duty is to do a community needs assessment. They have responsibilities to monitor the programming and report to the management, et cetera. Those things are all there in a handy page from the CPB itself. So anybody who wants to go there and look at that can get that information. Okay, we are out of time. Unless anybody wants to extend, we can move on and let Otis go back to his business. Unless you'd like to stick around, Otis, you're certainly welcome to.
That's okay.
Okay.
I think you guys know what you're doing, and I don't know if you really need my advice.
Well, thanks for coming, Otis. It's appreciated. On short notice, too. Sure. Thank you.
I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, that takes us to number 8, which is the report of the ICFO. And that's Julia once again.
Hello. Get back to my notes. I was, you know me, I'm an infamous note taker, so I was jotting a lot of that down.
Good.
Where are we? Excuse me. Okay, just a few quick updates. I know that the audit has come up a few times, and that's still in the works. We are adding a person to the team to help get that knocked out. I think some of you have met Vicki before, but she has been assigned to help move things along with that, and I'll be trying to connect with her in the next week or so, so we can get that wrapped up. Another thing that was on my kind of thought list that James and I spoke about earlier was the central services calculation, and it might be that Chris wants to speak to where we are with moving forward with a plan of implementing what was previously passed, which I think was a year or two ago, for how we're calculating central services and notifying the stations and getting that going. I did send out the report today, central services. That is actually, the report was through this period of the month. So, you know, the collections for central services payments have definitely been slow. And I think is a major thing to consider when we're looking at these budgets and the overall health of the organization, that we keep recording these. And again, we're accrual-based, we need to do that. But, you know, at some point, an auditor is going to say, of course, they don't really care about the inter-office loans. So I guess that's a moot point. You know, we can leave them there as long as we want. But I think it's going to potentially present a cash flow problem for the national office. Again, I don't know if we want to add the central services conversation to the next meeting agenda or not. I think some of you know the national servers have been an issue for the pet, well, for probably a year. We don't have access to them. I act like I'm Pacifica employee. Well, I guess I am sort of, but that was something that I was aware of when I first went out to California to the KPFA, the KPFK office, and it's part of the issue with the telephones. As you know, we're trying to reduce costs with KPFK's telephones. That process started a couple of weeks ago, and some snags were hit. And John Armella is working diligently to help get access to the national servers for us, and that ties into what Brian is doing with the new setup for the phones. I think that some of the programming phones are still not functioning, which obviously we have to get up because their fund drive starts February 7th or 8th. But John and I speak every day, at least once a day, on that subject. So hopefully we'll have some news tomorrow. D'Angelo is going to be working with Tech Impact to see if they can at least get into the next phase of getting all that fixed. Briefly on the bank balances, I think most are aware that cash has been fairly tight. Looking at the balances today, KPFK has $45,000 in the bank, but all of that is committed to outstanding checks that have yet to clear and trying to cover payroll and health benefits. So KPFA has been gracious enough to loan the station funds to make payroll. They have done that twice in the past few months, and KPFK has been able to pay that back. So that's a good thing, and probably one of the reasons that they were, you know, willing to help us out today. Again, we're relying on the fund drive to bring in the funds to be able to pay that back. Their payables are still significant, still around $140,000 sitting out there that needs to be paid, not including what they owe the national office. The national office has about $40,000 in their account right now, but again, all of that is applied to some invoices that need to go out. So there's not excess cash right there. But, you know, every day I'm surprised, depending on some of those accounts, with, you know, random $10,000 or so. So let's keep our fingers crossed for some more of those. Let's see. I know the chart of accounts status, James has asked me about that. It is not forgotten. I decided to break it up into chunks, and I've matched the revenue GL accounts across the unit, and there was a little more variety there than I expected. So at some point, I will get together with a group of you, or we'll try to whittle it down to what we think it needs to be and get to that and get it out. I'll be working on the expense section in the next few weeks, along with working on the audit. So I don't foresee that being completed for another few weeks. Budgets, I'm reaching out to Markeisha to go over a few things before we distribute the KPFT budget. There were just a couple of things I wanted to clarify before we get it to you guys, so it makes it easier for questions to be answered before it even gets to you. I think that will be one that we'll hopefully be able to present with the next meeting. But again, James will let us know when we want to do that. WBAI is on deck as well. Berthold has made some adjustments to that. I just need to have time to sit down and really go through it. You know, I think hopefully next year we'll have a process to where I'm a little more involved on the front end instead of the back end. Of course, it's a painful year trying to transition me into trying to assist with that. I think it'll go more smoothly next year. And really, this year, it's been a situation of where I'm kind of coming in on the tail end. And the committee has asked great questions, and I think they're valid questions, especially given the cash flow crunch that we're in. So I just want to make sure that the KPFT and the WBAI are vetted some more before they get to you. I think that's about it. Anybody have any questions?
Julia, I'd like to just say that let's agree. We will put the central services report and calculation on for the next agenda, and we'll have KPFT or WBAI's budget, hopefully, depending on which one is most ready.
Okay.
Good. Sorry to butt in there. Anybody else have any questions for Julia?
I have something I'd like to talk about.
Go ahead, Linda.
And Julie to the stack.
Okay.
Knowing full well that I live in a glass house, I'm looking at just KPFT's numbers and WBAI's numbers, and it's really troubling, if not appalling, that in KPFT, of course, we haven't raised as much money as we did last year, and at WBAI, they've raised, I think, it was $45,000 more than they did, or $30,000 more than they did the previous year, but they still increased their losses. And neither one of us are paying central services. And I don't see how that can be allowed to continue. That's my point.
I think that'll probably be a part of the conversation when I actually present the financials. I think that's on.
Oh, I thought that's okay. I thought you'd done that. I'm sorry.
No. James, I'm sorry. I thought there was just a general report and then presenting the financials was separate.
That's correct. But Lyndon wanted to speak, so he spoke, and you know, these things do cross over. That's understandable.
Yeah, that's a preview. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Julie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Julie. I forgot. Go ahead.
It's quite all right. Julia, I just want to say thank you. That was like a really, you know, kind of organized report that you gave us. And I know you've been working hard lately. And I just want to appreciate how hard you've been working. And nonetheless, the coherentness of your report and the many things that you're tracking.
Well, thank you very much, Julie. I really appreciate that. I told James today, I said, I just feel like I'm kind of in a no-win situation. We've got so much we want to do, and just I can't get it done fast enough to my liking. So I appreciate that.
We dug the hole, not you.
I'm a fixer. I think if you had the psychiatrist come in or whatever, they would say, she's a fixer. So, you know, maybe you've got the right person to help you.
I will just say that someone on this committee who's wiser than I am has likened the experience of a new executive director or a new CFO as drinking from the fire hose or from a fire hose. I think that's what's going on here. Anyone else with any other questions for Julia for her general ICFO report? Hearing none, let's move on. We're out of time anyway. We'll now go to a review of the preliminary version of the December 2021 financials. We have 60 minutes for this, but we'll be out of time before that. But I deliberately scheduled a lot of time for understanding we might not need it all. And I just want to remind everybody that these are preliminary. These are, of course, everything we do here is unaudited, but this is a preliminary version of the December 2021 financials. We're going to be releasing these for use by the general managers and the committees, but I hope everyone understands these are not intended to be perfect. There are likely to be some errors, and that's one of the reasons we release them, for everyone to go over them so that we can find out where there are any problems that we need to know about. Okay, Julia, go ahead. You're on again.
Okay. and of course it pains anyone, probably not just like me, but anyone on a finance committee to hear the word there are always going to be errors, because that is the last thing that we want. And as hopefully everybody had time to at least read the email that I sent with the financial statements today, if they did not have time to review the financials, it was really important to me to get these out today because I did not want to let the meeting go by. But at the same time, as I spent time with Tamara this morning trying to reformat, as we've discussed, and all those hours that are spent the day that we try to reformat and get these things, reports in the format that at some point someone had requested they be in that format. And I reached out to James and said, and I called a couple of people on the committee who I happened to talk to that felt might give me some good input on this. And I just said, at some point, we've got to stop. And a lot of the errors, there are two types of errors, in my opinion. There are errors that, okay, we have a GL number that's incorrect. Somebody's posted something. I think one example, Kim with KPFK might be that we know that there are some computer expenses that are up and misposted. They must be buried in an account somewhere else. And so there's that type of, correction that needs to be made. At least we know the expenses are there somewhere, but we prefer to get that type of stuff cleaned up. Then there are type of errors that just are stressful to me, and that's when formulas don't tie. The cringe that I get when Chris, although I appreciate it, I'm not calling him out. I've told him this before. I appreciate it. That, oh, this formula doesn't tie. And there shouldn't be an issue with formulas tying. And that is because all of the hoops that Tamara has to jump through to get the report to look the way that it has looked for the past several years. So while I want to start going over the numbers with the summary tab, I would like to, if it's okay, or if everyone thinks it'll be useful, just jump to the consolidated and talk about what has changed and see what we can do about getting on the same page about what is critical information for the committee to feel like they have the information that they need without us doing all this cutting, pasting, and formulas to get it to look like it did before. Does that sound like a plan, just to talk about the format for a second, and then we'll jump into the numbers?
You go ahead. This is your presentation. Okay. You do it the way you see fit.
Okay. All right. So I'm on the consolidated tab. Remember, all of the tabs are formatted the same way. And you'll notice it's not as busy. It doesn't have as many columns. And in my opinion, I think it really helps us focus more on what is happening. All we have is the 3 months prior year-to-date and the 3 current year-to-date actual numbers. As before, if we unhid, you can see columns H through R, you could unhide and see the rest of last fiscal year. I didn't delete them. I just hid them because that column R, prior year-to-date, that column, everything here that you see was exported directly out of Great Plains. Nothing had to be fiddled with. By leaving the entire year, prior year, that column R had to have formulas put into it. And by having the variances and the dollar variances and percentages, another column had to be added to pick up the year-to-date, prior year-to-date over to the right, and formulas, blah, blah, blah. You would be shocked. I was shocked once Tamara showed me everything that she was doing about inserting columns and doing all this. This report here came right out of the system. I hid some rows, and I was able to focus more on the summary tab. And that's pretty much it. So y'all think about it. Tell me, you don't have to say it tonight, but give some feedback. So if we do want to do something different for the next meeting, we can. The one weakness that we have right now is that with this format is that the affiliates are not in Great Plains as their own units. That tab, as you can see, I kind of blatantly labeled it 100% hand-created. I didn't bother moving that out today. And I don't want the affiliates network to feel like they've been slighted. But today was really about getting quality information out to you without a bunch of hullabaloo. What this will require is being able to get access to the servers so we can then have somebody help us add the unit to the system in Great Plains. And then we will actually have to go through the project of setting them up in the system, making sure all their balances tie and getting them imported over there. That is my plan this year. I hope I can get there. I really have talked to Ruth and Ursula. I'd love to think that we could get there, you know, late spring, early summer. It depends on what goes on with the audit and getting the CPB reports out so that we can get all that done. The thing that made me think that that was not so terrible for this reporting is because those numbers are in the national office tab. What I can do going forward is maybe highlight those a little bit better. We can do something a little bit better to help the affiliates' numbers be more obvious. But what Tamara has to do is she actually has to hand subtract them from the national office tab and manually recreate the entire affiliates tab. I didn't do that today. And I think that's somewhere where we need to meet in the middle and figure out how we best want to approach that. I won't waste any more time on the layout unless someone has questions. Y'all can just email me. Whatever. I appreciate any input. If you'd like, we can jump on over to the summary tab and discuss the numbers.